Hello and welcome back to the UFO and Aliens podcast. I'm your host, Rick Black. I hope everyone's doing well. March Madness is in full swing. I don't really know what's going on with that because I don't have a team in it this year. Plus, it's been a really busy time for me. If you are following basketball, I hope your team is doing well. Today, I'm going to talk about a specific type of UFO, the cigar-shaped UFOs. The first one I'm going to talk about is the American West airline flight called Cactus 564, which is a really cool name. And it started in Tampa, Florida. The final leg of the trip was from Dallas-Fort Worth to Las Vegas. It was piloted by Captain Eugene Tollefson and First Officer John J. Waller. The plane was passing near Bovina, Texas, just across the state line from Clovis, New Mexico. At about 9:25 Mountain Standard Time, there were thunderstorms to the northeast, and the lead flight attendant was watching the lightning flashes in the night sky. The flight attendant was the first to notice a line of regularly flashing lights in the sky to the north and below the airliner. The first officer then saw them as well. They observed a horizontal row of 8 strobe-like lights flashing on and off in sequence from left to right. Now, this last statement is important because later in 2015, a Smithsonian Channel documentary had SETI Institute Seth Shostak basically say that what the pilots saw could have been planets. That last sentence said the lights were flashing on and off in sequence makes that statement unlikely. Planets don't flash on and off, and certainly not in sequence. The stars will twinkle, but they weren't describing stars either. The lights, which were as bright as aircraft landing lights, were at an altitude of between 30,000 and 35,000 feet and were bright white with a tinge of blue. Captain Tollefson left his seat to have a look, and he saw the left-to-right sequencing lights as well. Then, when the lightning flashed behind the lights, the observers were able to see the silhouette of a really large 300 to 500 foot long cigar-shaped object. A UFO. After about 5 minutes of observing the object, Flight 564 called Albuquerque Air Traffic Control to report the object. Albuquerque ATC noted that the position of the object was over a restricted military area called Tie Band. The controller also noted that the description sounded similar to that of a tethered aerostat, except for the large number of strobes. Now, aerostat is basically a large balloon, a lighter-than-air aircraft that gains its lift through the use of a buoyant gas. They can be tethered or free-flying. But aerostats aren't that large, and they only reach an altitude of about 15,000 feet, half the altitude that the pilots were reporting. Also, the controller contacted sites that would know if an aerostat or any other military aircraft were in the air that night and was given the negative responses all around. The controller contacted other aircraft in the area, but no one else was able to see what Flight 564 saw. The controller then contacted NORAD, who at first reported nothing on their radar at that location. Then NORAD called back and said that they did have an unidentified return in that area. They were tracking a search-only track at that location. The search-only means that whatever it was they were tracking didn't have a transponder. All planes must have a transponder so they can be identified. This, whatever it was going 390 knots, so it would have had to have been pretty high to be going that fast. Then NORAD called back and said it was an ordinary plane with a faulty transponder. I'll tell you this. My original source claims that NORAD was tracking some unknown, but they never come back and explain that it was just a plane with a bad transponder. Leaving information out is the same as lying, right? Why lie when it's already a good story? I keep imagining looking out the window at a row of blinking lights when all of a sudden lightning lights up a 300-foot-long UFO. That's got to creep you out. Okay, from what the witnesses were saying, I don't think they were seeing celestial bodies or planets. Planets don't flash on and off. And these experts that say it was a planet or planets weren't there. Then again, I wasn't there either. It's interesting that the sighting was above a restricted area. Could it have been a secret military experimental craft? This happened in 1995. People weren't walking around with phones in their pockets then. If they were, I would think that people on that side of the plane would have been getting some video or pictures. And that brings up another point. We only heard from the crew. Did any of the passengers see the lights? Next, I'm going to take you to Newberry, South Carolina. 14-year-old Carl E. Moore was fishing with some friends when he saw a large, cigar-shaped UFO land on the water. The sighting took place around 10:30 p.m. on July 15, 1981. The weather was excellent, with a clear sky and a temperature of 75 degrees. Carl and his friends had been fishing that day, what with very little luck. They had had only a few fish to show for their efforts and were on their cots for a rest. Carl decided to go down to the boat ramp and check his trout lines, so he was alone when he observed the UFO. The UFO was 30 feet long, glowing, silver-white, cigar-shaped thing. It was flying very slowly over the water, perhaps 20 to 25 miles per hour. He said it slowly settled on the surface of the water, causing steam to rise around it. After about 3 minutes, it slowly rose and hovered about 1 foot above the surface. Suddenly, it shot skyward, rising vertically until it was out of sight. Carl described the speed as fast, claiming the UFO went from a hovering position to more than 250 miles per hour in an instant. The UFO was larger than a standard-sized automobile, without windows or doors. It was covered with small, whitish-blue lights. These lights kept flickering back and forth as long as the object was in sight. Now, that's interesting because the Cactus 564 UFO case, they said the lights were white with a blue tinge, and they flashed on and off in sequence. Very similar description to Carl's UFO lights. When the UFO landed on the surface of the water, it was less than 50 feet from Carl. Carl described his feelings during the sighting as quite disturbed, but he was able to keep his cool and observe the whole event. Because his friends were asleep on their cots, he felt that no one would believe his experience. But when he heard about Project Visit in Friendswood, Texas, he felt compelled to make a report. Now, what would you do in this situation? Would you just observe, or would you wake up your friends? Or maybe wake up one of your friends? I think I would wake up a friend so that they could see what I was seeing, and also to add another witness. It's hard to convince people if you're the only witness. Sure, you saw a UFO. Does the fact that he didn't wake up any of his friends make you want to believe this story or not? I like the fact that the description of the lights is similar to the plane sighting. He couldn't have heard about it because it hadn't happened yet. Now, we're going to go to Denison, Texas. At around the same time, actually just a few months earlier, May 13th, 1981. In an area around the Texas-Oklahoma border called Texomaland, it was reported in the Denison Herald by staff writer Irene Flaherty. At least 7 persons spotted an unidentified flying object over Texomaland last Wednesday morning. 3 of the UFO spotters give corresponding visual sightings and are certain they saw what they saw. Jim Shelton, mechanic at Jim Graham International, described what he saw for the Herald and went a step further. Shelton said he's been laughed at, poked fun at, and looked at like he was crazy, but won't back away from a single word. He said, quote, "It may have been for only 5 seconds, but I saw what I saw. It was a flying object with lit portholes. Fire was streaming in sparks from the rear, and it had green and yellow pulsating lights. It was real. I saw it. And if they locked me up, I still saw it. It was long and cigar-shaped." End quote. Karen Robinson, an employee of Texas Instruments, saw it too. She described it to her friend Linda Tingle as moving in a straight line across the Texas-Oklahoma skies like a Roman candle, only much bigger. Like fireworks trailing behind a falling star. Karen was en route home from her job at Texas Instruments, and she got off at midnight. Linda Tingle saw it too. She described it as a big ball of light. Quote, "I thought it was the moon at first glance, but it was coming down like it was falling. I thought it might be a falling star or something, but it was flashing a green light. It turned yellow. I screamed to my husband, Mike, look. She and her husband were driving home from work. She works at Texas Instruments too. He works at Johnson & Johnson. He was driving north on Loy Lake Road. They live in West Denison and were en route to pick up their child before going home. He couldn't see anything but the sky because he couldn't look around much while he was driving. He said the sky lit up. Quote, it seemed to glow. But Linda said she didn't notice the sky. She said, quote, I just saw that ball glowing and flashing as it streaked downward real fast. Like I said, it first flashed green, a light green, then it turned a light yellow, and it disappeared like it fell to the earth. End quote. Tingle said he talked with a coworker at J&J who also saw the strange lights. Shelton's account is the most exacting. Quote, my wife and I were watching television. Channel 13 had a show about the German ship Graf Spee. The movie had just ended. My wife had gone to sleep. Channel 13 was going off the air. I know it was right at 12:30 a.m. Out the living room window, I saw a bright light. The whole pasture lit up. I raised up off the couch, turned toward the window, and was looking out when I saw the long, cigar-shaped ship. I thought it might be a plane crashing or a helicopter, but there was no sound, not a motor, a humming, or a bit of noise. End quote. Shelton said he got his knees on the couch, leaned over, and raised up the window to get a better look at the object, partially behind one of the big oak trees in the pasture just behind his trailer. He said, quote, I hollered at Judy, my wife. She woke up and said she saw the pasture all lit up, but she did not get to the window in time to see anything else. I expected it to come back into view, but just poof, it was gone. I thought it crashed, and I called the Denison police. Shelton said, I know they thought I was crazy, but they humored me and said since it was outside the city limits, they would notify the sheriff's office. They never contacted me, so I know what they thought too. End quote. Shelton is positive about what he saw. Quote, if they think I'm crazy, that's their problem. I did see it. End quote. He didn't go to the pasture immediately. He said, quote, I thought about it, but I was scared. What if it was a flying saucer or something from outer space? I just couldn't see myself walking out and shaking hands with any green men. I'd be too scared. I reported what I saw, and it's up to someone else to investigate. End quote. Shelton couldn't just ignore it, though. He went out the next morning and walked every inch of that 15 acres and couldn't find a thing. Then he decided someone ought to know about his UFO sighting. Quote, I was an Air Force brat, and Dad is retired and living in Fort Worth. I called him, and he said he would tell the Air Force, and they would contact me. But I haven't heard a thing from anyone. Shelton said he was an average person who has heard of people seeing UFOs and never thought much about them. He is a mechanic and has three children. He is 37 years old and been on the same job for 5 years. He said, quote, I'm not prone to making up things, and I can understand someone being skeptical of what I've said. The thing I saw was 20 feet long. It was coming down at a fairly steep angle. Its glide path was about 100 yards out in the pasture, and it was moving about 30 to 40 miles per hour, not hovering or trying to land. Then, poof, it was gone. I thought, my God, it scared me. It wasn't a plane, a helicopter, or the Goodyear blimp. It was bright as day, then pitch dark again. A neighbor of Shelton's who didn't want to be identified also saw the brightest daylight. He said, quote, I had gone to bed. It was well after 10:30 as far as how late. I didn't look at the clock, and my room lit up. It was bright, and I woke up. It was that bright. I thought it might have been a car pulling in the driveway, and I was imagining the rest. But I pulled the covers, closed my eyes again, and went back to sleep. At the police station, the dispatcher didn't record the telephone call from Shelton. Alton Taylor, day dispatcher, said he knew what it was. Quote, we get a lot of those calls. People are seeing the weather balloons and think it's something else. It was here just last week. I saw it myself when I was coming to work. End quote. Shelton said he didn't see a weather balloon. Quote, there's no way what I saw could have been that. It just couldn't have been. It was strange, for one thing. There was a silvery white glow and orange-red flames coming out of the rear of that cigar or saucer-shaped thing. End quote. The sketch that Shelton drew shows a cigar-shaped craft with six round windows and something shooting out the end of it. The round windows could be lights running down the length of it. It's interesting so many people saw this thing and described the same thing, especially the flames coming out of the rear. Because of the flames coming out of the end, I have to believe that it must be some kind of terrestrial explanation for this one. None of the UFOs that I've read or heard about have anything like that. But then again, it was reported that it made no sound. So what could it be? I don't know. I've got one more for you. It's also in 1981, this time April 19th in Los Angeles, California. A large, low-flying, cigar-shaped object with white lights shining from a row of windows and bearing green, blue, and white running lights was reported to the APRO Bulletin. And APRO is a leading UFO research organization in the United States. The object was sighted by a West Los Angeles resident on the night of April 19th, 1981 at about 11:30 p.m. Barry E. Taft reported that he was driving home from a visit with a friend in the city of Palms when he noticed something unusual in the sky as he crossed under the Santa Monica Freeway Bridge. He was just coming up the grade from the underpass, parallel to the shopping center parking lot, when he noticed the object moving slowly, no higher than 500 or 600 feet off the ground, over the northeast corner of the parking lot, at a compass heading of 40 degrees. After ruling out the object as a helicopter, blimp, or other conventional aircraft, Taft pulled his car over and stopped to observe the strange sight. The object, which seemed about 2,500 feet from where he was standing, gave off no noise. And Taft wrote, quote, "What made me so sure I was not observing any type of conventional aircraft was its basic structural design, that of a flattened, elongated cigar, with no tail section or wings of any kind. It is hard to imagine an aircraft staying aloft without any type of horizontal or vertical stabilizer." End quote. He said that what appeared to be running lights were positioned along the top and bottom of the craft, which alternated green, blue, and white. There were also what looked like windows spaced regularly along the object's length, which gave off an intense white light. Taft wrote, quote, "The object itself appeared to be quite solid, and its surface had a charcoal gray color and looked opaque," end quote. He said the object was slightly tilted toward the ground and was moving very slowly. "The object," Taft wrote, "seemed to come out of the northeast, tilt towards the ground, and then turn away from his position to a point where he could not see the lights or windows. Then it appeared to begin moving in a northeasterly direction until he lost sight of it. The entire sighting lasted less than a minute, and Taft did not pursue the object because he could not drive and look at the same time." Taft estimated the object's size about 65 feet in length and about 15 feet high. Here's the entire report written by Taft himself. "On Sunday evening, April 19th, 1981, I just left my friend's apartment on Jasmine in the city of Palms and headed south on Palms to the 7-Eleven store at Overland in Palms. I purchased a small bite to eat at the 7-Eleven and then headed northbound on Palms toward my home. I didn't notice anything unusual until I crossed under the Santa Monica Freeway Bridge, after which Palms turns into National Boulevard. It was now approximately 11:30 p.m., and I was just coming up the grade from the underpass. As I reached the crest of the grade, which is approximately parallel to the 76 Union gasoline station just to the right, I noticed something in the air slightly off to the right. I was now about even with the parking lot for Vaughn's Market and the accompanying shopping center located there. At first glance, I thought I was observing either a low-flying, fixed-wing aircraft or possibly a police helicopter, which are quite common in that area during the late evening hours. After I ruled out those two possibilities based on my sighting, I then thought it might possibly be the Goodyear blimp in distress, as it appeared to be quite low in altitude. I would estimate that it was no higher than 500 or 600 feet. It was over the northeast leg of the shopping center at a compass heading of 40 degrees. After effectively eliminating all the aforementioned aircraft possibilities, I then pulled the car over and stopped, turning off the engine. I stepped out of the car and continued to observe the vehicle in the air. The most apparent factor at this point was that there were absolutely no sound being generated by the object whatsoever. My eyeball estimate of the object's range is about 2,500 feet from my location as marked on the map. At that range, I would expect to hear either engines or prop blades or fixed wing aircraft or the rotor blades of a helicopter. Neither were heard, nor was the sound of a jet engine or turbine. What made me so sure I was not observing any type of conventional aircraft was its basic structure or design, that of a flattened, elongated cigar, with no tail section or wings of any kind. It is hard to imagine an aircraft staying aloft without any type of horizontal or vertical stabilizer. Additionally, what appeared to be running lights were positioned along the top and bottom of the cigar shape, which was viewed on the edge. The colors of these running lights were green, blue, and white, alternating. Another peculiar feature observed was that this long cigar-shaped object had what looked like windows or rectangular openings spaced equidistant from each other between the rows of running lights. The windows or openings were emitting extremely bright white light. The object itself appeared to be quite solid, and its surface had a charcoal gray color and looked opaque. The object's attitude was slightly tilted toward the ground, and it was moving very slowly. It seemed to come out of the northeast, tilt downwards to the ground, then turn away from my position to a point where I could no longer observe the lights of the windows, only its backside, which had no lights or windows. At that point, it appeared to be moving back in a northeasterly direction, and I lost sight of it. Again, it is important to note that during this entire observational period, there was not any sound heard coming from the object. And inasmuch as it is relatively late hour, 11:30 p.m., there were few, if any, cars on the street to distract me or drown out the sound, if any. My entire sighting lasted about 45 seconds, and I did intend to pursue the object, but I could not drive the car and observe the object at the same time since I was alone, and there was no one present to assist me in navigation. In conclusion, I'd estimate that the object's size was considerably larger than any helicopter that the police have flown locally, perhaps 65 feet in length, and was about 15 feet high. It could not have been a blimp, as its shape was not consistent with that type of aircraft. So, end quote. So what do you think? There are some similarities with these cigar-shaped UFOs. It's interesting, if nothing else. Remember, believe none of what you hear and half of what you read. If you like the show, I'd like to encourage you to help support the show. You can help me out with just $3 a month. Just go to the website and click on support. I would really appreciate the help and would be happy to give you a shout out. In addition to that, I will send you a beautiful UFO and Aliens podcast sticker. These are really cool and you really want one. Do you have a UFO story that you'd like to share? Is there a UFO story you'd like for me to look into? Just send me an email at ufoandalienpodcast@gmail.com. I'm Rick Black, and I'll talk to you next time.